don't know why I started laughing. But here we are, episode 63, first show of the year. I don't know what happened. It wasn't even anything funny. I just looked over to see what episode it was, and I started laughing. But here we are. Welcome. It's episode 63 of Divided by Werewolves, 2019. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
It's the year of Blade Runner.
It so, is. Yeah. And like two other things, too, and I can't remember what they are.
It's just rain and sadness is basically. Yeah. Which I don't know if by you it's been this way, but up here, it's just gray. It's just a fucking desolate, just gray, rainy wasteland.
Yes, and pick a goddamn temperature already.
Oh, like, my God,
this
right?
Shit, this cold at night, and then it's fucking 70 when I get off work shit.
No, I can't do it.
I'm sick of it.
I can't do it. Yeah, it's yeah. You know, and then, I don't know if you saw this, but like, so Fallout 76, a game by all accounts, should just be thrown out. They should just pull all server connections and just wipe them clean. And then they had a bug on January 1st, 2019. The game couldn't handle that the year rolled over. And nuke codes in the game just stopped working.
Wow. No, I didn't see that. I saw all the other shit leading up to that. But
yeah. Yeah. I thought it was like a feature. Like I thought, oh, it's something like built into the game that like, oh, you know, 2019 game. No, it actually just broke.
Yeah. The last thing I saw was the everybody's information being leaked if they had logged a ticket in with
I mean, you want to talk about like all the shit. Like, I mean, between and then them going, oh well, we promised you these canvas bags, but then that would cost too much, so we gave you these nylon bags. Unless you were a fucking influencer, which I mean, geez, can you imagine? Like,
oh yeah,
the people who are gonna play your game the least is some fucking shill. Who's just, I mean, come on. Yeah. Anyway, but we're happy to be here. It's 2019. My phone is happy to be here. I should probably silence that. It was just very excited to be here. There we go. Sorry about that. I feel like like Jimmy Kimmel when his phone rings during his monologue, but nobody gives a shit about me. we have a lot to talk about tonight. Not the same epic levels as our end of year shows, but we have some movies over the holiday break to talk about. And but before we do that, I'm not going to get into spoilers. I did finish Red Dead Redemption 2. And while I still think that they overcomplicated things in regards to the various health and stamina and whatnot systems, it was a great game. Like, great game. The ending of the story was, I thought it was fantastic, and it was nice. Like, when I stopped achievement hunting, you know, moving over to the PlayStation kind of afforded me a certain kind of freedom to decide, you know what, I'm not going after all this stuff. But with open world games, I still tend to try to get most of it. I think that's just me and my map checking
things.
And like when I played Spider-Man, I genuinely enjoyed the game, although I mean there were parts that I had to do for completionist stuff that I'm not going to say I enjoyed myself, especially this DLC, which if you don't have it, don't.
No, I don't. I just really. Had a base game.
No, just don't bother. Yeah. And then Red Dead Redemption 2, I kind of thought, okay, yeah, but then when I got into it and I was just like, you know what? Like, I really like this story. I really like Arthur. I just don't give a shit about anything else. I didn't feel like I had to do. Because, I mean, you can't change the difficulty level. So it's not like it was a situation where you're like, hey, if you shoot this moose in the face, you get some gun that is going to, you know, just make your life right. So much better. It's not like that at all. And I think to their credit, I think, you know, that they, you know, they built that extra stuff that if you want to do it, you can, but you don't have to because it doesn't, I mean, it goes both ways, right? You're kind of like, well, if I spent all this time picking berries and eating leaves, then I should really get something for it. But, you know, the flip side to that is, yeah, but if we do that, then players who don't have an interest in doing that stuff might feel like they have to.
Right.
And we, what we want is something where if you want to focus on the story, like Gene has been doing all sorts of extra stuff. He's having a grand old time. I got to a point where I did some of that. I went out of my, so I started off going out of my way to do that stuff. Then I was like, well, if it's in like on, like I just have to veer off the path slightly, I'll do it. And then it got to where, fuck it. Like I would see like I would see a stranger thing like on the other side of the map, and I already had the trophy for like doing the stranger missions, and I was like,
oh yeah, fuck that.
I'm like, hope it's not important.
yeah.
You are on your own.
Yeah, Gene has always been this way about Rockstar games. I mean, I think we talked about it before, but that, there's something about a
but
Rockstar
so have game I
for him that he just
ever since GTA 4. I mean, and I didn't get everything in GTA 4, but like GTA 5, I did everything. I fucking everything. You name it, I did it.
Not me.
I mean everything. All the stuff.
I finished
stuff.
The story.
No, I did everything. Every single player collectible, I did it. I did all the stunt things. I did all the races, all the collectibles. I did everything. In Red Dead Redemption, I did everything. And so I kind of thought I'd be the same way here. And it wasn't just because it was a change in platform. It just, I was like, you know what? I'm happy. And I think too, like when you've spent 50 hours in the main story, well, what more do you need?
Right. Yeah.
But,
and it's one of those things, I don't know if you do this, but I'll take a break from something for a while, and it'll, you know, and if I have nothing else going on, you can always go back to it.
I can't, I don't. If I stop playing, I'm like a shark.
I
got to keep moving forward.
I got you.
I got to keep. No, seriously. Like if I stop playing, like here's a perfect example, right? So last night this morning I finished playing Hitman 2. Great game. I am not the target audience for Hitman because I have absolutely zero desire to play through
over
these stages. And I mean, it is incredibly well done when you consider all of the ways in which you can take out your targets in every level. But I am not that person. I'll do it once. I'm interested in the story as just a way to combine the levels. I mean, honestly, I mean, if you, the story, who cares? If you played Hitman 1 and you're like, I don't care about the story, I'm not so sure there's much in Hitman 2, because it's the same thing, right? They put you in this playground and then they set up all these elaborate ways that you can take out your targets. And I have zero interest in going back through, even knowing that there's like little kind of story missions within the level, because it doesn't impact the overall story. So why do I care? So I finished Hitman 2 this morning, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to be streaming tonight, so I don't want to start Assassin's Creed Odyssey while I'm watching TV tonight, because I'd like to start that on the stream so that people who watch the stream can see the beginning of it.
Right.
And I was like, oh, well, I have Sniper Elite 3. I could play that for like an hour. And I was like, no, because if you start it and you don't keep playing it, even if you only put an hour into it, for whatever reason, the odds of me going back to it just drops off a cliff. And I don't know why. But if I get into a game and I stop it, it's done. And I don't mean like if I take a break, like if you're like, hey, do you want to play Monster Hunter or Destiny? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll jump on. I mean like if I stop it to play something else.
I gotcha.
So like I have Just Cause 4 coming via Gamefly, so I'm kind of like, well, I would like to play that, but I don't really have anything else. So if I start Assassin's Creed, do I need to go through Assassin's Creed, or can I stop it to play Just Cause? So,
man,
I don't know. But you bounce around from things because you're kind of always, you know, you're like, oh, I'll go back to that, or I'm going to try this game. Because, like, you also have, I think, a bit more of a backlog. So you can kind of bounce from thing to thing.
All right, my throat is fucked up tonight for some reason.
All that weed you've been smoking.
I wish that was the problem. I'm going to try that one day. I keep saying it. One of these days, man. But my backlog is stupid, and I keep buying games. I got Call of Cthulhu in. A couple of days ago, it's still shrink wrapped, and all I can think about is all the shit I haven't done in Destiny this week yet. So,
Yeah, but it'll still be there next week.
Yeah, I know. I'll have to do it then too.
Yeah, but you can just pretend that the stuff that was here this week is done, and you finished it, or it went away. They stopped. They were like, you know what? We're shutting it down.
I know. I still have two other forges to unlock, and then my hunter's almost 650, and my warlock is up to around 640-ish. So I'm getting there.
I felt bad that I couldn't help you out because I'm cheap, and they wouldn't be willing to.
I needed to do strikes too that night, so it's all good.
Yeah. So real quick, one other thing is I did. So the latest Toys to Life game, that Starlink Battle for Atlas game that Ubisoft came out with, which is spaceships, and you can swap out the guns and the wings and the pilots and all that stuff. So this is a really weird game in that they were like, okay, hear us out. You can spend hundreds of dollars on the base game and all of the pilots, all of the ships, all of the weapons. Or you could buy the digital Ultimate Edition for $80 and get everything unlocked. And then if you were like, well, $80 is still a lot, they were like, hold on. How about $40?
Oh.
Yeah, no shit, right? So like the week before, so Nintendo, the eShop, had these sales going before the holidays. And on Christmas Eve, they had a sale where, and explain this one to me. You could, and I'm not an I don't have a degree in economics, so maybe I just don't understand it. You could spend $59.99 for the digital edition of Starlink Battle for Atlas, and then pay $40.01 for the digital ultimate upgrade bundle that included all of the extra content, or you could spend $39.99 for the two of those things together.
Yeah.
I did not understand. I was like, what?
Well, wait, I think that's the idea, right? Because with the multiple release, that they're hoping to catch people that aren't paying that close of attention, I guess, maybe.
I guess, because I was like, wait a minute, what? So I ended up buying it, and it is a combination between... and of course, on the Switch version, you get the Air Wing and you get Fox McCloud. So fuck all these other pilots; they can eat a dick because
sure.
So I've just been playing as him in a ship, and it's kind of like Skylanders in that you want more ships because more ships equal more lives. But if you do lose all your ships, it's not that big of a deal. And I can see how it definitely is much more convenient digitally to just like say I'm going to swap a gun because you'll be flying around and there'll be an alien and they'll be like he's weak against hot. So you go, okay, so you switch your... And you have a different gun on both sides of your ship, so you can have, like, missiles that draw in, like, gravity missiles, and then hit it with a flame bullet, and it makes, like, a swirling flame vortex around the creature. Mm. So on the fly, you just... They're like, hey, this guy's weak against coal, and you're like, oh, shit, really? And you just go into the menu, swap out the guns, boom, you're good to go. Which is much more convenient than having to be like, okay, where is that gun? And then like get it out of the dog's mouth and like pop it on the ship. And but it's not as fun as actually having a ship that sits on your controller, which, I mean, for me, 46 years old, probably, I mean, shouldn't have a ship. Wee! Pew, pew, pew! But here's the thing, and this was never a problem with me, because as many Skylanders as I bought, I still somewhat gated them, right? Like, you know, you'd buy a couple, and then you'd bring them home. Specifically, like, if you're like, well, you know, I want to make sure I have one of every element so I can open up the different gates and that type of stuff. You know, you'd play with it. You'd have your favorites, and your favorites are like, well, I'm going to level up this guy, and I like his... And so that's who I'm going to play with mostly because I want the experience points to go towards unlocking the attacks and making them better. And it's the same thing here. So what ends up happening is I've got a ton of ships that I really only use if I run out of lives, and then you almost get, like, overwhelmed by all of the options of... Because every weapon can be upgraded with different mods, and you want to have it equipped so you have, you know, more experience points. Every pilot has its own special power, and you want to level them up too. So, like, definitely from a cost perspective, it was worth it to buy it all because, I mean, you know, that was $5. I think the cheapest I saw, if you bought it physical with a ship and everything, the cheapest I saw was $35. So you figure $5 extra, you get everything. But it's overwhelming to be like, well, what am I? Should I be leveling up other pilots? And this guy makes sound blasts, and that guy's a ninja, you know, and you know what I mean? And then you're just like, you know what? I'm being my fox guy. We're just going to But yeah, it's like a combination between the Star Fox games, which, you know, like a third person kind of detached space fighter game, and like a No Man's Sky. Like, you land on a planet, they'll have, you know, you can just like, you can either do missions to uncover things on the planet and shoot aliens in the face or pirates in the face or whatever. And then, you know, and then there's a story that sends you off to other planets. And it's not, I think $40 is probably the exact right price point. I don't, it's not something I think you'd play for hours and hours and hours. But it's definitely entertaining and it looks great. And I mean, you just can't beat it for the price, because it's one of those things where you could be like, you know what, it's just kind of a good game to have in your back pocket. And then if you don't have anything else to play, you're like, oh, I'll jump in my ship and shoot some aliens and discover another planet or whatnot. But
gotcha. Yeah. I, actually, shout out to Jace one more time. I actually have it, because he bought physical and then bought digital and asked me, did I want to get the physical? And I was like, sure.
Oh, wait, you got one of them ships?
Yeah. Well, no, I got the controller. He kept the ships.
Oh, so you mean the, like the mount, the controller mount thing?
I got that. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. But I'm like, for the price, I was like, you know, you don't turn down a Switch game at this price, like, almost, because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
So if I end up having nothing to play on my Switch, which is laughable to even say if I end up having nothing to play, because I'm so fucking behind, you know, I'll have that. And I'll try it.
Yeah, and I think that the biggest difference I've found so far between this and, like, Skylanders is, so most of the stuff that you can do in the game, you don't need specific weapons for. There are some, they're called spires, and you'll go, and they'll have, like, different, like, puzzles, and the puzzles might require a specific elemental weapon. But that's, you know, a very, you know, unlike Skylanders, where it felt like if you, you know, really want, and now, I mean, it's the same thing in Skylanders. If you wanted 100% a level, you had to have maybe not every element, but certain ones.
Sure.
And it's the same thing here. If you want 100% a planet, you know, you would need that. But most of the stuff you could just do, you know, and because, and like I said, if you, so if you run out of lives, essentially what happens is you can respawn back at a planet. So if you were attacking a pirate base and you got it 3/4 of the way down to its health and then you died, well, the next time you go to that base, it's at full health. But it's not like, you know, if you've completed stuff, it stays completed. So it's not like in Skylanders where you'd be like, okay, well, you need to start the level over.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I never did any Skylanders.
Oh, man, I love those games.
And thankfully, the kids never got into that stuff, so...
Yeah, I mean, my son did, but, I mean, he was just, you know, he kind of wanted to just go and, like, punch sheep. So it was just, like, getting him to focus to be like, look, we need to go down here was an effort. So, and he kind of was just like, eh, you know what, if I have to, like, he's always been the type of kid where he's like, I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
So even if there's a story, like I don't want to play a game where I have to do stuff. And I'm like, look, I'm not just going to sit here and watch you punch sheep in the face, fun as that might be.
Right.
So, so you know, he kind of wanted to do it, and he kind of did some on his own. And then he was just like, eh. And that was that.
Gotcha.
All right. So movies. We have three movies to talk about. Bird Box, Aquaman, and Bumblebee. And I want to hear about Bumblebee first. One, because I'm genuinely curious as to how it was, but also I didn't see it. So you don't have to listen to my dumbass.
It's just my dumbass who doesn't articulate as well. But, it was fun. It was, I think, I was thinking about this today because so many people that I saw talk about Bumblebee were said that it was light years better than any of the other Transformers movies. And that made me, so I also started thinking what you would have thought about it, or what I imagined you would have thought about it.
Because I liked the first three. I wasn't a fan of kind of what they did with Optimus Prime. Like, sure, he got kind of more and more violent as the three went on. But, I mean, and two definitely had its problems. But I enjoyed the first three. It really wasn't until the fourth one, it was like 9 hours long, that I was just like, this is bad. And then the one after that, I was like, I don't even know what's happening, but this is not great either.
I gotcha. So Bumblebee is, I was trying to decide if it's my favorite or if Dark of the Moon is still my favorite. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say about Bumblebee is it is the most lighthearted and adventurous type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off, you know, they show all the trailers. They showed all those scenes from Cybertron with the G1 Transformers on that. That's the first 5 minutes.
See, and that part bugged me because, honestly, I think the original cartoons are trash. I mean, if you go back and rewatch them, they're not great. You want a good, you want solid, still holds up extremely well Transformers cartoon, whatever. Either one, your pick. It starts with Beast Wars. Beast Wars is still a great fucking cartoon. Right. I think my favorite Transformers animated, which I have never watched again because I don't want to know whether or not it holds up. Mm-hmm. But I have the, in fact, they're next to go on the NAS. Why, I don't know. I don't like them. But the original Transformers cartoons, it's just Starscream screaming like a disgruntled drag queen at Megatron. Like Megatron and gets into my next line. Megatron and Starscream sounds like a stereotypical like two old queens who live together and they've just been together for decades and they hate each other and it's just them. They love each other but they hate each other. And they're just bitching at one another like just these two. Yeah. Like they just live. Maybe they live down in Miami and it's just like. Like, you didn't get the milk. Well, I didn't need milk. Well, I use milk. You know, and that's 24 minutes. And then you're a gold bug. And we go, huh? You know, like.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. But it was very exciting to see those characters on the screen in, like, real life, so to speak, right? And I think everybody got really stoked for that. And then I'm watching it. And as the scenes play out, I'm like, this is just first 5 minutes.
Well, and that's the thing. It just even in the trailers, it just seemed like I'm not going to say pandering, but it seemed it just felt like they were like, look, people didn't like the Bayformers,
mm-hmm.
so here's what you wanted. You wanted a robot that shoots cassettes out of his chest, even though he has no understanding of what a cassette player is. Why would he? Lives on a planet without sound waves. Here you go. And people are like, yay, G1, you know? Okay.
So once it moves to Earth, once Bumblebee gets here and they start the – and I thought they were going to be characters I knew that were hunting him. They weren't. I don't know who the fuck they were.
Triple changers. That was pretty badass. I will say.
But they weren't the ones that I knew.
Like, the only triple changer I knew was the guy who turned into a train. And the space shuttle, Astrobot.
Astro train,
yeah. Which is weird. Which is weird. Why a train?
Like, is it Springer was a triple changer, the good guy. Because he was a car and a helicopter, right?
Yeah.
The green one?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
The only one I found more weird than Astro Train was the guy who turned into a microscope. I'm like, nobody on a perceptor on a battlefield. He's like, I'm gonna get real small and let you look at cells. Okay. You hide over here, you know. Yeah, all right, Poindexter.
We get it. You're the smart one.
Your name is Goldbug. Yeah. Sorry. So I have to ask though: did they digitally add Bernie Mac at the end of the movie for Bumblebee to go live in his used car lot?
They did not.
Did they explain though how he got from? Because this movie is in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Did they explain how he got from there to? I want to say Transformers was 2007.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
No, so they didn't explain how for 20 years he just.
No, he goes from the Beetle, and he turns into the Camaro at the very end. And then there's one thing.
Why would he turn into the Camaro?
It's the whole thing. He likes it better when he sees it, so he scans it or something like that.
Okay.
And it happens and it gives the movie an opportunity to tell one last little joke between Bumblebee and the girl.
Okay. So. And then she goes her way and he goes his and goes out to a car lot.
Yep.
Hmm. Well, all right.
Still, again, this is the most family friendly by far. It's a little adventurous, almost Spielberg type of movie.
Yeah.
Just instead of a wrinkly alien, it's a robot that turns into a car. I don't know.
And so with the two triple changers that are in it, are those like the only Decepticons outside of the stuff on Cybertron? Angela Bassett and Justin Theroux there?
Essentially, because there's one other one, but things for him go badly.
Okay. Huh, interesting.
Early on, so.
But I mean, like, you like the old, like, the transfer. Like, were you ever like, look, I don't like these Michael Bay movies? Or, I mean, I guess if you're fine with them, maybe you weren't necessarily clamoring for this type of thing.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with the Bay movies. I watch, you know, I enjoy them. But would I rather they look like they're supposed, what I say supposed to, from the old cartoon? Of course. You know, they're just too busy or something. And I hated Starscream's look in the first, I guess he was in three of them.
Starscream was really the only one that I had an issue with because his weird head. Yes. Although that being said, I will say the Starscream figures, they made a huge improvement on them between the first and the second movie. And the master, the big versions of Starscream, I forget what those, the $50 ones, those were really, really good toys. Starting with the Revenge of the Fallen. They retooled the mold for Starscream, and those were really good toys. Not as good as like the big fucking Brawl. That toy fucking kicks ass. and not as good as the masterpiece Starscream that I have with the crown and the but those were good toys. And for me, like, I didn't mind so much. I guess it's because, like, with the cartoons and stuff, like, I'm okay with the designs changing because I kind of looked at it from a toys perspective. Like, Transformers Animated Optimus Prime is my all-time favorite Transformers toy. It's a beautiful, very clean lines. I love the mask over his face. And then I just, the transformation, like, I mean, Optimus Primes, they all kind of transform the same way, right? Like, however you transformed him as a kid, that's how they all do it. But something about this one just was better and it hooked together better. It was one of my absolute favorite Transformer toys. And I loved the look of that line, that the animated line, the Bumblebee there was like a mix between the old Bumblebee and the kind of the newer ones. I loved what they did with a lot of the models. So I don't mind so much them changing the designs if it means that it works. But I agree with you that when you would do a transformation sequence in the Michael Bay movies and it took fucking 3 hours because of all little things that had to spin and turn and this, and you're like, look, you're making things. He didn't have that shit on his arm. Like, you're making like 19 different gears that weren't there before. We don't need that.
Right. But you know, again, I'm not making these movies, and who knows? Like, for a 5-minute scene, it was fun to watch what I recognize as these characters throw down, but does that work for our movies? Like, I don't know.
So do you feel like this movie kind of worked as a thing to, one, tell just a standalone Bumblebee story, which I never really felt like Bumblebee was a character that was just like, everybody was like, oh, we really need to focus on this guy. I didn't either.
Until the first movie, I felt like that's where most of it came from for some reason.
Right. So do you feel like this movie worked as a thing just to tell this one story?
Yeah.
Or did it feel like, look, people were pissed off at the Michael Bay movies. We still want to make Transformer movies, so let's just give them this.
No, because and that's one of the things that I thought with a new director and all that, that it would be like vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of follows the formula. Like, you know, there are big battles. Now, the battle sequences, I feel like, are better.
Yeah.
It's easier to tell what's going on.
Yeah.
And this is just straight up a Bumblebee story. And it's how, you know, Bumblebee gets to be where he is when we get to the next movie. Sort of. Like, it just shows this brief moment of his when he first arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we know it jumps forward, you know, almost 30 years or 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a Bumblebee movie. It's a fun, lighthearted Transformers movie. But the formula as far as point A to point B to the finale is basically just a very short Michael Bay movie.
Do they explain it all, how the other character, like you're saying, like Starscream, I mean, the stuff they showed of Starscream, he does not look anything like. I mean, I understand, yeah, like, I understand the plane part looking different, but I mean, the robot part looking different is where I was like, because I mean, at least the design for the robot part of Bumblebee looked the same.
Yeah. So that was the Starscream. Which I didn't know that until I saw the credits because I was like, that's the Transformer that things don't go so well for really early on. He's the first one who finds Bumblebee on Earth, and Bumblebee, I mean, he's the one that like rips out Bumblebee's vocal cords, but B wrecks his shit.
Cause he looked like Starscream.
He did, but it's not who he was listed as.
Who was he?
I don't remember. Let me look. Let's see.
Because, I mean, it had the same, like, I can understand if it was, like, yellow and orange, you'd be like, oh, that's Sunshot. Or if it was, like, purple and black, you'd be like, that's Skywarp. I'm trying to think what are the other ones. There's, like, a blue and brown one.
I think the voices are listed separately, so that'll help. Maybe they're not.
Because in the...
All right. Blitzwing.
No. Yeah. No. No. Because he was the same, he was the same colors. He was that gray with the red. That was Starscream.
All right, well, he's Blitzwing in this.
No, he is not. All right. Well, now I need even to hate watch this movie.
Now you won't even watch it. No, there's no Starscream listed in the movie, so he's not even in it apparently. And the other two were Shatter and Dropkick. I had no clue who they were.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You're talking to a guy who bought a really shitty Skywarp figure because the intelligence rating on the back of the card was super high. And I was like, wait a minute. Skywarp can teleport. He can be anywhere at any point in time. If he is a tactical genius, he would just rule all of them with an iron fist. You can't make him be suit. Like, the whole thing about Skywarp is a fucking idiot.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he's just a dumbass. Because if he really knew what he could do, he'd be unstoppable. You can't have him be. So, I mean, this figure was terrible. Like, he literally can't stand up. He's got this giant arm. Like, the whole middle of the plane turns into his arm. He can't stand unless he leans on it.
Well,
it's the worst. But I saw the card and I was like, no, it is not intelligence of 10. Get the fuck out of here. I'm buying this one. I brought home to my wife. Look at this. Do you believe this shit? Skywarp 10. Get out of here. I have a very, very long suffering wife.
Well, I love it.
Very accommodating. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So which one do you want to do next? You want to do Bird Box? You do Aquaman.
Yeah. I don't know how much you have to say about Bird Box.
I really like Sandra Bullock.
Yep.
I thought the movie was just okay.
Yeah, I hated it.
Did you really? Good.
Oh, I hated it.
I was concerned. When you like tweeted, when we were talking to the Discord channel and you were like, it's going to be really interesting. I just watched Bird Box. I was like, oh, fuck, you loved it. And then I'm
going
to.
Oh, God, no,
yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah, no. Okay, good. No, I didn't get it. I mean, I understood it. Don't get me wrong. When I say I didn't get it, I mean, I'm stupid. But I was just like, you know, they made such a big deal. Like, they're like, oh, it's kind of like A Quiet Place. And I was like, no, it's not. Because here's the thing. The thing I liked the most about The Quiet Place was it didn't devolve into the real monsters or the humans. Which is right. Exactly what this turned into. And my God, how many fucking times have we seen this?
Well, and then how many times have you seen a movie that establishes a set of rules and then completely throws that shit out the window for no apparent reason later?
Did they do that? And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just curious because I don't remember.
So every person who saw this in that big opening which was a cool scene.
Mm-hmm.
That big opening thing where it got to America or whatever, and people started in the end. If you see it, it makes you kill yourself. Okay, but then, and everybody does that. And then later on, it's not everybody because some people who saw it are possessed now.
No. They actually explained that. They said
I must have missed that.
It was like they made a, so that guy Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Who came to the house and somebody else mentioned that there was like a institute for the criminally insane. So there's a little kind of a light mental health shaming there.
okay.
Where they were criminally insane. So because they already, I guess, wanted, maybe they were already predisposed to having people hurt themselves, like they more. It's kind of like, okay. Remember how in Dark Knight, where the Joker His whole band of people is like criminally insane people. I got that vibe that it was like, oh, okay, like, well, they're already like kind of off the rockers and maybe want people to hurt themselves in the first place. So when they see stuff, they're just like, fuck it, that's great, you know. Whereas
I don't like that even less.
But yeah, the Gary, the guy who came to the house where you were like, why are you letting him in? He is totally off his rocker. Right. He had mentioned that something along those lines.
Was he the guy that had the drawings of the things too?
Yeah.
Because that pissed me off because the drawings were really fucking cool. And I was like, oh shit.
We're going to see.
I can't wait to see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
And no, not so much. It's like, I don't know, man. It didn't do a thing for me. I was frustrated.
Yeah.
And then, again, reading all the shit online, which I should stop fucking doing, it's like, oh, Quiet Place. I was like, this movie wishes it was Quiet Place.
Right. And here's the thing. And this is where, you know, the thing, first of all, I think this is a movie that was watched by a lot of people. No doubt about it.
Right.
I don't know if it was a movie that was enjoyed by a lot of people. And Netflix, they don't release figures as to how many people watched it beginning to end. It was 2 hours long.
Yeah.
People could start him and like, fuck that, I'm out. I think it was worth it just for all of the memes, whatever, all the pictures I've seen of her being blindfolded and putting things. But, you know, the thing about it that I, when you, if you want to compare it to the quiet, to A Quiet Place, it just, in no way does it hold up, because A Quiet Place was all about two people whose love for their children was so strong that they like everything they did was for their kids, and even at, you know, the end, which was fucking heartbreaking for all parties involved, was done because this guy just loved his kids so much, and regardless of this being the status quo, these monsters are here. They're not going anywhere. But it is super important that you stay alive, you live, you have a life.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ. And I understand that was kind of the whole point with Sandra Bullock Mallory realizing, oh, it's worth it. But I'm like, she didn't even fucking name the kids. Like, that's the part that bothers me, right? Is like, first of all, thing number one is she spends fucking 5 years with that hot ass dude and doesn't end up leaving that house with a whole fucking slew of mixed race babies. Get the fuck out of here. I'd be like, you put a baby in me every 9 months. No questions. Second of all, like, she's with them 5 years, and he doesn't say, can we please name the children?
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, I want to, like, it seemed like the movie just kind of didn't necessarily know what its own timeline was.
Yeah.
I understand if they're both infants and he's like, well, we need to name the babies. And she's like, well, I don't want to name the babies because something bad is just going to happen to him. But for it to be that long, and he's like, you still haven't named the kids. I'm like, motherfucker, you named the kids.
You could have done it.
You could have named the kids. You could have just said, I'm not calling him boy. I'm not calling him girl. He's Frank. She's Shelly. I don't give a fuck. Whatever. My point is, that part was stupid. She's like, everything I've done is for the kids. And I'm like, you can't say that because no, like, that's not, like, it was clear that you, I mean, just the, like, the way the fucking movie opened at first, when she was like, if you take your blindfold off, I will hurt you. I was like, damn, I understand. I was like, oh, okay. She just wants them to understand the severity. Nope. Not it. You're mean. Like,
yeah. Right.
And I think the problem is it took 2.5, like the scenes of them like actually on the river was not even half an hour.
Right.
And yet that's where all of her emotional growth took place.
Right. Yep.
So we have to have an hour and a half of don't let him in, let him in, knock him out, let's go scavenge. Wait, you know,
Tom
all that.
Had opened one more goddamn door.
Right, right. All that shit for a half an hour of her going, well, you know, life is worth living. And then I'm like, but is it really? Because nothing changed. You're just in a school full of blind people. And in the book, there are people there who, like, first of all, in the book, I was reading about it, the husband, Tom there, he died, like, when she was giving birth.
Yeah, I read that, too.
And then in the book, it's not just a school for blind people. It's also people who intentionally blinded mm-hmm. themselves mm-hmm. so as not to have to worry about it, which that's some yeah. pretty kind of fucking dark shit. But
some bleak shit right there.
Right. But I mean, honestly, one of my biggest disappointments is that they never really explain like what the things were.
Yeah. Yep. And it, good God, man. What was The Quiet Place? What, hour and 30, hour 35?
When I saw 2 hours, I was like, oh,
2 hours and 5 minutes of this shit?
Yeah. Honestly, when I saw that, I thought it was a mistake. I was like, there is no way this movie's, what the fuck?
Right? I don't know. This Lifetime, A Quiet Place just didn't do it for me. I didn't like it.
I don't think it was as strong as a movie. I don't, mm-mm. I mean, not even the moments when they're like, out in the woods and the kids are like, should I take my blindfold off? You know, right. It's like, I mean, they're not going to kill these kids. Like, they're right. not going to kill these kids. Right. Like, A Quiet Place sets up early on, oh, we'll fucking kill kids. Yeah. Don't you worry about that. Yeah, make a noise. See if yeah. I don't. You know, like, Quiet Place, like, I wish a motherfucker would make a noise. Right. You know, like.
Right.
And that's important, though. Because yeah. you need to know, as an audience member, you need to know, I ain't playing with you. Like, right. I counted to three. You know, and you needed to understand as an audience member that, like, the stakes of this, they are high, and we are willing to show you that. And Bird Box, I never, not even for a minute, I was just like, they're not going to kill these kids. Not going to have, what are they going to do? They're going to have this fucking 5-year-old girl take her blindfold off and then beat her own head against a tree? No, they are not.
No.
So, I mean,
and the other thing, just touch on that just a little, is that the other thing A Quiet Place did for me that this did not was I actually cared about the characters in A Quiet Place. Yep. And I don't know if there were too many characters or what the problem here was, but I literally didn't give a shit about any of them.
I honestly, for me, it was like, what I wanted, like A Quiet Place was great because it focused on the family. There, mm-hmm. you knew there were people outside of it. There was one guy that they came across, and that didn't go well. But mm-hmm. and then from the different like the towers, you know, that would light the fires. You knew that they had some contact with other people, but it was not, you know, not like a day to day thing. And right. for this to then just turn into what I mentioned before, this yeah. kind of retread Walking Dead bullshit of, mm-hmm. you know, well, people are the real monsters. It's like, okay, we don't need that. Like, I mm-hmm. don't need to see that anymore. You've set things up with, like, you're telling me demons show up and make people go insane and fucking kill themselves, and then you turn it into a one-room play? Fuck that. I don't right. give a fuck about that.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, it was good to see, like, you know, John Malkovich, he's always good to watch. Yeah. The guy, he was in Get Out. He's entertaining. Yeah, yeah. Like, I love Sandra Bullock. I think she's great. But you know what? No. Mm-mm. No. So, disappointing because, yep. I mean, good for them. If Netflix made a bunch of money off of it and they can keep making movies, you know, I think for you and I mean, like, Haunting of Hill House, I think, was genuinely a thing. I don't think it was just us.
No, it was not. No, absolutely.
But, you know, I think that you and I have been somewhat disappointed with the kind of bigger Netflix exclusives. Yeah. But if it allows the smaller ones, like, nobody, you know, I mean, Netflix isn't sending out press releases. These many people watched The Ritual, or these many people watched, you know, The Night Comes for Us. These two guys on this podcast, you know. Like, 6 times each, you know, like, but if these things allow them to make those things, then, you know what, I'm all for it, and I'll watch them too, just, you know, whatever. But it's disappointing. All right, so last but certainly not least, number one DC movie outside of The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises is beating Wonder Woman, has beaten Suicide Squad, has beaten Man of Steel, Justice League, Batman vs. Superman. Who would have thought in the year of our Lord, 2018, the highest grossing, one of the highest grossing DC movies would involve a fish man with a wallet chain.
Yep. Tracking for $1 billion worldwide.
Icky Thump Aquaman, which I'm here for. Don't get me wrong. I'm surprised. Are you surprised it made this much money? Because I'm fucking surprised.
Yeah, I'm big time. I thought it would be good.
I figured it would do well because it was over Christmas.
Yeah. Right. That. And of course, the Momoa is a draw for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And and maybe. You know, James Wan, for some people that normally don't watch the superhero stuff.
Fast and Furious, baby. He's in the family.
Well, sure. But like also the horror stuff that he's known for.
What do you think he's known more for? For people who would be interested in going to see Aquaman, do you think he's known more for The Conjuring or he's known more for the work he did in Fast and Furious? Or not known at all? Don't know directors.
This is just the circles I run in talking, and not to take anything away from his Fast and Furious stuff. But I feel like as far as people that I'm familiar with that know of him, it's because of the Conjuring verse or whatever, because he has his own little horror universe going on.
Yeah, but I'd be curious to see. I'll have to look that up I'll look that up from a box office perspective. Putting butts in seats. Gotcha. How many? Yeah. Well,
so how much of I don't know how much of the Fast and Furious he did. Like, I had no idea.
I'll look it up right now.
Does he do like the new ones, the good quote unquote good ones?
Okay. First of all, I won't stand for that. I will not stand for finger quotes in my house when you're talking about Fast and Furious. Okay. Do it.
I apologize.
He's director Furious 7, which is,
I didn't realize that.
That's a good one.
Okay.
You know what? You're right. Because Saw, Insidious, Conjuring 2, Insidious. I've never seen Insidious.
Oh yeah. None of them.
No,
they're good.
They good.
Yeah.
I like Conjuring quite a bit. Masters in it. So,
and he's also in Insidious.
Is he really?
Yeah, he and
like the same character.
Yeah,
really.
Not central character in that one. But he's in all of them. So he's a recurrent. Yeah, but he and Lin Chay are the ghost hunters who come in. And it's funny because Insidious is so good. It was like it actually was fucking scary when I was watching it the first time, and then. When they come into the house, to the ghost hunters or whatever come into the house,
ghost
there's
fuckers.
A weird
ghost facers.
Yeah, the ghost fuckers, they come in, and there's a weird tonal shift that kind of took me out of it a little bit, but I still really enjoy them.
Well, I can tell you that Insidious Chapter 2, Conjuring and Conjuring 2 made as much money as Furious 7.
Wow. So, I don't know. That surprised me.
So, yeah. I mean, Furious 7 was the last Fast and Furious movie we had with Paul Walker.
Right, right.
It's been a long day. Sorry. Anyway. So, how did you feel about Aquaman? Because honestly, like, I put Wonder Woman. I mean, I know we don't see eye to eye on the Marvel movies.
Sure.
But I put Wonder Woman up there with the best of the Marvel movies.
Yeah,
my only gripe with Wonder Woman is I wish they had not kept Ares as being Professor Lupin. Like they had,
right.
You know, once you found out who it was, you're not like pasty British guy in armor. I was like, maybe like do something else with him. That was my only gripe with it. But I put Wonder Woman up there with my favorite Marvel movies.
Yeah. I do too. Yeah, I still like Wonder Woman better than this. This is like it felt a lot like a Marvel movie to me. Like I honestly at one point was like, did nobody tell James Wan that this isn't a Marvel character? Like, does he know this is the DC character? Because he made the most Marvelish DC movie and it was still good.
He did. Absolutely. It felt like a year one Marvel movie.
Yes, it did. Yeah. I mean, it was like by the end, I was like, I'm just watching underwater Star Wars. Like, this is fucking cool as shit. Like,
I wish that he had been as concerned with making a good movie as he was with making really excellent shots.
Yeah.
Like there was some absolutely stellar, if you were like, I'm going to print this out. Like when Arthur and Mira are swimming underwater with the flare and all of the trench monsters are surrounding them. There was a scene when like Ocean Master, he was full Ocean Master. He had the helmet and he lands and he's got the trident. I was like, fucking badass. Like there were a number of shots that were just like, whoa, like print that shit out and put that on my fucking wall. But it did not translate into a movie as a whole that I was like, yes, like I,
yeah,
there, I needed this thing to be about 45 minutes shorter.
Yeah. Yeah. That when, and you, but I say that, and at the same time,
or longer to develop other things.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the other issue, right? It's like, now here's Black Manta. This is one of Aquaman's like greatest foes. You're like, really?
You could have taken him completely out of the movie and it wouldn't have changed things one bit. It was so disappointing.
Was he handled poorly, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, good God, man.
So disappointing.
Fucking Black Manta. Like, the costume was badass.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I liked it. He looked great.
Yeah. And the actor who played him, I thought, did a great job.
Yeah, there were a couple of times where he was a little too corny for me, or like a little too over the top, maybe. Like he would like stare at the screen and shit, and he was supposed to look a certain way. And I'm like, I don't think that's the look you were trying to go for. Some of the dialogue, not just him, but like in general, was kind of corny, I thought.
Yeah, and just like Dolph Lundgren, I don't know. He might be a perfectly nice guy. I don't know anything about Dolph Lundgren. I don't know why. Like, I understand why. Okay, if you want to cast him in Creed 2 as Ivan Drago, makes sense. Absolutely. I'm right there with you. If you want to give him a bit part in The Expendables, because it's all these action movie guys, not a bit part, you can even give a big part. Nobody's watching Expendables because they're like, I hope to see some really great acting. But like, when you're like, I need someone who seems regal and is going to be a king or a lord or whatever. I don't know what the exact hierarchy in Atlantis is. Are you really going to go with red-headed Dolph Lundgren? Like, seriously? What the fuck? Like, I mean, you got some good people in this movie, but why?
Some really good people.
Yeah. De-aged Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe was awesome.
It just looks like...
Yeah. Well,
that had to be disappointing for him, where they're like, we made you look 20 years younger. And he's like, wait, what?
So you're telling me I haven't aged in 20 years. So.
Yeah, I guess that's good. Yeah. But how upset was Nicole Kidman when she went to see Ant-Man and the Wasp and was like, what the fuck? Michelle Pfeiffer has been stuck in the quantum realm
for
20 fucking years, apparently at the L'Oreal counter, walks out looking amazing, and I look like I crawled out of a dumpster behind a Red Lobster.
Yeah. Also, like, why was she hidden for that long, and she finally decided to come back out of hiding?
Here's the thing I thought it was just like, you know, like, okay, and I think this is you know, this is in part, I think, a problem with when you just watch a lot of movies and you maybe have a hard time kind of turning off the critical part of your brain when you go to watch these things. Now, you could argue that, well, if the movie didn't engage you enough to where you didn't care about it. So, like, when I went to see, like, Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom, when I was done, when we were done seeing, I said to my kids, like, how long did it take you to realize that little girl was a clone of the mother? And they're like, we never figured it out. And I was like, what the fuck? it was obvious. It was so obvious. And I'm like, is there anybody, when I'm sitting there watching Aquaman, and I took both of my kids to see it, and I was like, is there anybody in this movie who genuinely believes that she's dead? like right. who genuinely oh, yeah, I know. Believes that I know. They sacrificed her to some sea monster
right.
and she's not coming back, that like Nicole Kidman, they were like, we will pay you a ridiculous amount That's of money right. to be on right. screen for 10 minutes.
This is the same people who go and watch something like Mission Impossible 2.
Right.
And fucking Tom Cruise gets shot with like 45 minutes left and they think that Ethan's actually dead. What yeah. the fuck, man? Yeah. Of course yeah. that wasn't him. Like, yeah, same thing.
Yeah, but I was just like, okay, well, I mean, she's not dead. She's not dead. Like, nobody, who even believes she's dead?
Right.
But, you know, the other thing was I just felt like, you know, again, it was too long, but it was, you know, they get to the point where they're like, well, you need to go face the monster. I was like, oh, come on. Like, you just fucking give him the cocktail fork so we can all get out of here. Like, do we have to seriously? Like, why do I need, I don't give a shit about these tribe and they turned into these fish people and they're the crab people. I don't need a toy, like. You know, like when you consider, and I know you don't watch Game of Thrones because fuck dragons, but you know, when you have
more than that about that show, but yeah, go ahead.
When you have several seasons to establish different races and you can take your time and you can like build the world, but like when you only have X amount of time, I think you have to decide what the balance is. And is it really important that we learn about all of these different Atlantean tribes and who went where and they turned into this and these guys turned into that? Like, I don't think so. I don't think anybody cares that much.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm okay with them trying to establish the different kingdoms or whatever and all that.
I am perfectly fine with them establishing it. I felt right. like they just spent so much time on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
also, didn't enjoy the Uncharted sequence all that much.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was fucking weird, right? Yeah. Like, I was fine with the quest part of it.
Yeah.
But then it turns into a rom-com and fucking pit bulls doing their rains down in Africa.
Right, that was weird. I was like, what?
I laughed out loud. Yeah. I was like, are you serious?
You know what? Here's the thing. When I go to see movies with my kids, I don't, like, I'm very, very cognizant of the fact that I don't want to be a buzzkill. And if they really enjoyed something, sure. You know, I want them to enjoy it. Did you see Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom?
Yeah.
Okay. When they left the island and the whole thing was burning and the big fucking Brachiosaurus was like, on the dock, I had to bite my hand to keep, because a woman in the theater actually went, oh, and if it was you and I would have laughed so hard, I would have pissed my pants. Like, if you and I had been sitting in comfortable chairs in Noonan, I would have laughed so hard, I would have pissed my pants. But I was with my kids, and I had to be, so I had to bite my hand because I wanted to laugh so hard at that moment. And it was the same thing here. Like, there were certain parts where I just wanted to laugh out loud, but I was like, it's not like the time right. to laugh. And I don't want them to be like, well, Dad hates this, and then somehow have that like impact there.
Sure. That makes sense.
But I totally agree. I totally agree. But I just, I mean, I, you know, I give him a lot of credit because, you know, he clearly had a vision. And it wasn't just like, well, I want to, you know, I don't want to just have, okay, it's the typical, like, you know, reluctant hero story. So let's just do that. Like, you know, James Wan wanted to build, he was invested in this world of Atlantis. Sure. And he spent, and I give him a lot of credit for, you know, building that out to where it felt like a place that had a history and a culture and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if we as an audience were as invested in that world as James Wan, the filmmaker.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I can see. I agree with that.
But that being said, if they make another one, I'll fucking go watch it. I had a good time.
Oh, man.
I was ready to
jump out of my fucking chair when he showed up in the fucking orange and green, man. Like,
yeah,
that was
pretty good. I will say that was good. Like, and my wife was like, you know, when I was talking to her, and she's just like, you know, and I was like, yeah, you know, when it comes out on video, she's like, wait, why would you buy this? I was like, well, I liked it. I mean, I liked it. I did. I mean, it's just, you know, like a movie doesn't have to be the most amazing thing ever for me to want to watch it again. And I liked a lot of the stuff that they were doing. And it's just that, you know, there was a bunch of stuff for me that didn't quite hit, but not to the point where, you know, I was like, well, like Suicide Squad, the first time I watched Suicide Squad, I was like, this is great. And I think it's because you know, there was a lot of stuff about it that I really liked. And it wasn't until I watched it the second time that I was like, these are two separate movies that are fighting with one another as to what this whole thing is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And definitely Aquaman was a lot more, coherent. It did have a singular vision. It's just, you know, was a long one. So I liked it. I would love to see him, you know, be like, I think another movie where he is king of Atlantis and how he maybe rectifies that with, if there's surface world concerns or whatever, you know, that would be kind of cool to see. Because, you know, that was always one of the best parts of him being part of the Justice League, is that, you know, they're all worried about these threats to the planet. And he's kind of like, I don't give a fuck. You know, like, I've got three quarters of the world is covered underwater. I got to worry about all that shit. You've got, you know what I mean? Like, so that kind of push and pull between, well, yeah, there's the surface world, but they don't give a shit about what's underwater, and I need to worry about them. Like, that challenge, that push and pull, I think is interesting. And if they can they kind of touched on that in this one, but if they can develop that more for another one, I'm all for it.
Yep. Same. And then there obviously will be another one, so let's hope, you know, it goes somewhat in that direction.
Yeah. So I guess the next DC movie then would be Shazam.
Yeah.
Which I'm still not sold on, to be perfectly honest.
I'm not either. I want to be excited about it, but I don't know. And I know I'll watch it.
I'll watch it too. It's just, so whenever we go to see these movies, I mean, I'm honest with my son, because I'm like, you're old enough. If you want to go to a movie that I don't want to see, you just tell me when it is. I'll drop you off at the theater. I'll pick you up. But he's old enough now to where, like, when they're young kids, you're like, okay, if you want to go to a movie, I don't want to see it, I'll take you to the movie. And especially now, he'll have his license in February, you know. So if he wants to see a movie, all he has to do is fucking drive his ass to the movie. Like, they showed the Detective Pikachu movie, and I was like, look, Mr. Mime is fucking terrifying. I'm not gonna go fucking ingest that nightmare fuel. I have a hard enough time sleeping as it is. I don't need to see that bullshit. And so he was like, I really want to see Shazam. And I said, let's wait until we find out if it's actually any good, because it could so go either way.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really weird choice for who they have to play. I can't call him Shazam. I call him Captain Marvel. I don't know if there's I'm sure I'd get sued. There's probably some sort of copyright infringement thing on that. But, like, if you have to put a dude in a puffy muscle suit, like, maybe isn't there somebody else you could cast? Like, Zachary Levi, he's great. And he's funny.
I like him.
I like him too, but I'm just like, are there no funny people with muscles? Like, so, you know, my concern with that movie is it's just going to be big as with superheroes.
Yep.
Like, who's the villain in that movie? Do we even know? Because it's not Black Adam, because...
Honestly, I don't know.
Because the Rock, who else it would be, still looking to do that on his own.
Yeah.
I don't know. My everything I love about Shazam was in Kingdom Come, where he fucking transformed three times in a row to fucking detonate the nuke. That'd be badass if he did that in this one.
Yeah, it would. Talk about a tonal shift from the trailer.
I got this worm in my ear. Makes me do crazy things. Anyway. So what's next? I'm so out of it when it comes to movies. Man, I really don't know. I don't even know.
I've seen a few other things, but nothing really worth talking about.
Yeah, I don't even know what is kind of the next big movie that's coming out. Wait. I just had a flash of something in January. Glass.
Oh, was that? Okay. Well, I didn't. Yeah. I wasn't sure when that was. All right.
Yeah, that's Jane. Yeah, that'd be the next one.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I'll have to watch Unbreakable and then watch Split again. But yeah, that I think would be the next one. I not necessarily by the time we record another show, but definitely like kind of the next like quote unquote big movie. Sure. I think that we would be interested in. And then I think games were kind of, you know, really not until like probably March that stuff starts coming. I think Anthem's
February.
Is that February?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see how that ends up being.
Yeah, because I'm certainly not sold on it yet, for sure. I've seen lots of gameplay, and I don't know.
I'm not either, honestly. For what they're looking to do.
Yeah.
If they're just trying to make Destiny with jetpacks.
That's basically what they're doing, yeah.
You know what? It took a long time for Destiny to be Destiny.
Yeah.
So, I am very interested in March for Division 2. Hopefully,
I am too.
I can get you to go along with that. I always feel bad about the first one. Where I was like, we should play this game. And then we're like, let's shoot this guy in a hoodie for 10 minutes. This 16-year-old kid in a hoodie with a fucking flamethrower and grenade launcher. And we're like, wow, he took a lot of hits.
Yeah, he did. No, I'm interested too. I've like the stuff I've seen looks really good. So we'll see. I hope they learned their lesson. So.
Well, you know what? And that's the thing. I would love to fire up one again because my understanding is they did so many improvements with the post-release content that they really did make it almost. And I have to, people slam Ubisoft a lot, but they are committed to giving their games a pretty long tail. You know, when you look between Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon,
yeah,
the one, the drug lord one, For Honor is what, 2 years old?
Yeah,
they're still doing events, still putting out content.
Yep.
And the Division, you know, some of the when they kind of identify games that they want to kind of live on, they do a good job of trying to kind of keep them going.
Oh, yeah, shit, man. There's still operators for Rainbow Six coming out.
Right, yeah. So my hope is that, like you said, they kind of learn their lesson. Because, I mean, obviously it's great that they keep that stuff going, but you want some of those things to be in place when the game launches so that you don't have to try to convince people to come back. So, I mean, for me right now, I'm good. I got Assassin's Creed. I got Just Cause 4 coming. I got Astrobot VR. I still got to finish Moss. Like, I don't need to buy nothing for a while.
No.
But definitely, I think, you know, Anthem, I think there's a beta you can sign up for.
Yeah, actually, I got into the private alpha or whatever the fuck it was that you signed up for, and they sent me the times that I could play. I couldn't talk about a game at all or whatever, but I ended up not being home at the time they gave me. So
Wait, they said you couldn't talk about it?
Yeah, it was like you couldn't stream it and shit like that.
Oh.
Not talk about it, but like, you know, I couldn't do it on Twitch and all that kind of thing. And
shit, I streamed the alpha of Destiny. First thing I did was fucking flew off a cliff with Sparrow, which set the tone for everything afterwards. yeah, I mean, and then Crackdown 3 comes out in February, which I love Sean. I hope Crackdown 3 ends up being everything Sean wants it to be. But 2 was such a fucking pile of shit. Yep. And this is had such a troubled development.
It's going to be terrible now, I think. I don't know.
I'll believe it. You know what? I don't really care. Like, if it, you know, like, oh, everybody destroys things. Well, I don't give a fuck about that.
I don't either.
If the single player ends up being good, but I don't have any faith in it at all due to the last one and then the, you know, how long it's taken for them to come out with another one.
Yeah.
So, but, whatever it is, we'll be here. Hopefully, you'll be with us. So thank you everybody for hanging out. Of course. Hey, you know what? If there's something you want us to watch, you could tell us, you could tweet at either one of us. We'll watch shit. We're not, picky.
If you've got a movie you want to,
if you got a movie,
all kind of shit, dude. It's like,
goddamn right, TV show.
I'll be happy to watch it.
Hell yeah, absolutely. Mitch is at Mr. Bones. I'm at Mr. Binky, and of course, the official is The Div by Werewolves. So, you know, tweet at us. Say, hey, I want you to check this thing out. I love this movie, or I've heard about this. Watch it. Tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. We'll do it. More than happy. Thrilled, yep. even. Yep. But whatever we end up watching, hopefully playing, you'll be with us in the next 2 weeks. So for myself and Mitch, this has been episode 63. I had to look. I didn't laugh this time. I was like, 62-3. Divided by Werewolves. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope that you will join us again in the next couple of weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night. Trying to find the button. Can't find it on my Mac. Where is it? Here it is. Good night, and have a good evening.